Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. We are coming to the end of the first 6 months of the year, and it's been a rather challenging and rather momentous moment for markets here in Singapore and across the world. But with the second half looming just around the corner, there are still a lot of questions that markets have to ask themselves. On one hand, you also have the continued fight against the COVID-19 pandemic and this economic recovery that's trying to sustain itself, but also signs of inflation and potential tightening, at least, from monetary officials across the world, none more so than the Federal Reserve, which just made its policy decision in the last 24 hours. Well, what is the outlook now for markets from some of the world's notable fund managers and institutions? Well, today we are actually joined at Money FM by Dr. Felix Brill, who is the CIO or Chief Investment Officer for VP Bank. And he joins us today all the way from Liechtenstein, actually, to share with us their outlook and if it has changed after the Fed's recent decision. Dr. Brill, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these very uncertain times. And welcome to the show, sir. And good morning to you out there in Europe.
Hello and welcome. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
Okay, so Dr. Brill, as you know, we are coming off the Federal Reserve's most recent policy decision. Before we get into VP Bank's overall second half outlook, you know, a number of commentators have actually mentioned that there was a bit of a hawkish surprise from Jerome Powell and friends. But, you know, the possibility of the Fed addressing their massive bond buying program and the monetary policy, I mean, it was inevitable. Eventually, they had to actually address some of these. From VP Bank's point of view, was the Fed's pronouncement, and at least them saying that, hey, we're going to start talking about possibly tapering some of this bond buying support, was this the hawkish surprise? Was this so much of a hawkish surprise based on your point of view?
No, not really. I mean, I was surprised actually that people are so surprised because, I mean, not expecting too much in terms of specifics, but we were expecting that this topic is going to be raised really soon, already this summer. So the Fed has to or will ask and address the questions on, you know, like how to continue with its bond purchases and how is the outlook on the economy and so on and so forth. And we were expecting that this is on the table very soon.
Okay. So now, as it's been highlighted also, is that whenever central banks have to withdraw some of the support, timing and communication is key. And whenever we talk about possibly tapering some of these bond purchases, it always brings us back to 2013, when then Fed Chair Ben Bernanke tried to do so and thus ignited, some say, was that taper tantrum that really shook markets and raised volatility for the most part. How big a risk, based on VP Bank's point of view, is there of another taper tantrum happening a la 2013? And I guess another follow-up is which central bank might find it most difficult to perhaps withdraw some of their monetary support based on what you're seeing?
I think we have seen a bit of a glimpse now this night and yesterday after the Fed announcement, and it's going to stay with us, that risk. It's always the challenge if you have to manage expectations, or in central bank terminology, like to add forward guidance. There's always the risk that you don't meet the expectations of markets, and it's always a challenge to have that, you know, like feedback loop. So try to steer market expectations in the directions you would like to have them. And maybe you overshoot or maybe you undershoot. So that's always a risk. And there's a risk attached to it that we will see some short-term volatility. But underlying, I think, the outlook is very positive because there is enough reasons to see a lot of optimism with regard to the economic recovery. And of course, now you have the challenge and the concern of inflation, but this should be manageable.
All right. Let's start off with bonds first, and to talk about certain asset classes that VP Bank is a bit skeptical over. And it was highlighted in your second half outlook that you folks are still skeptical over government bonds, especially with all the policy uncertainty that's been highlighted and all the angst about potential taper tantrums. I can kind of understand this. Tell us why you folks are keeping your hands off government bonds, though, for the time being. What's driving this more skeptical view, at least, for sovereign fixed income from VP Bank?
The reason is exactly what we've seen now, just now. So on the Fed changing its forward guidance, the Fed trying to prepare markets for a change in their monetary policy stance to first taper and then at some point even to raise interest rates. And in this environment, on the backdrop of really a positive outlook on the economic recovery, government bonds are not the place to be typically, because in an environment where then interest rates start to increase, you feel all that interest rate sensitivity negatively in your portfolio. And so therefore, from a tactical point of view, in this environment, we don't like government bonds because they're actually more risky than usual then.
All right, we're speaking to Dr. Felix Brill, the Chief Investment Officer for VP Bank here on Money FM 89.3. And he's highlighting some of the key points, at least with regards to VP Bank's second half market outlook. And it was interesting that when it comes to both bonds and equities, VP Bank has taken a liking to Chinese markets. But I have noted in recent months, Dr. Brill, that we're still seeing signs of regulatory pressures, particularly in China's tech space, that could affect those equities, and also the tightening liquidity and rising bond defaults affecting their credit space also. How is VP Bank perhaps guarding against these risks, especially if these are deemed serious by VP Bank at all? And how does that play into your still rather rosy outlook for Chinese markets, both fixed income and equities?
Well, of course, you have to manage these risks. If you look at stocks, we like to focus on specific themes that are not too risky from the point of view you just highlighted. So, for instance, we like the China consumer themes. I think there's still some room to the upside, and it's not too risky from the regulatory side, I would say. And if it comes to Chinese bonds, from a portfolio point of view, and let's say also from a foreign investor point of view, they have gained actually an attractiveness. There are many reasons for that. But if you look, for instance, at the opening of the Chinese bond markets that happened over the last couple of years, so we can expect more inflows. This is a good sign. And if you look at yields, it's also interesting because in nominal terms, they're above 3%. And even in real terms, deducting Chinese inflation, they're positive, which is something in the current environment. And finally, Chinese bonds promise to have a low correlation to other asset classes. So they promise to have a nice diversification effect to the portfolio.
Very interesting. And as we know, China is still regarded, despite its size, as an emerging market. But I want to shift our focus now, Dr. Brill, to emerging markets also. And very timely, given the Fed's recent, what they said was that hawkish tone they've taken. And of course, whenever the Fed turns hawkish, a lot of focus on the US dollar that usually gets a lot of strength also. But as we know, emerging markets are very sensitive actually to possible US dollar volatility, not to mention the risks coming from uneven vaccination rates. What is VP Bank's outlook in this space? Are there any emerging markets that might be worth venturing into still, given some of these risk factors that we just outlined?
Yes, I mean, that's a very relevant topic right now. So I think in the short term, emerging markets face that challenge with regard to the change in and the new forward guidance of the Fed. So this might be a bit of a headwind for emerging markets, at least in the short term, as well as the still slow progress in many emerging markets with regard to the fight against COVID. So there is room to the upside here. But beyond that, actually, we are quite positive on emerging markets because we still think, and it's a strong theme of ours since last year, that from a longer time horizon, the dollar is going to weaken. There are many reasons for that, but we're still convinced, even if you see some short-term improvement in the dollar, in the longer term, the dollar is going to weaken, which is typically positive for emerging markets. And on top of it, we see that positive outlook for the global economy. And then always, if the global economy recovered, this was really good news for emerging markets. But emerging market is not always the same case. So there are a lot of differences in emerging markets. We just looked at them recently, did quite an extensive analysis, came up with a ranking based on various factors. And a common theme here is that Southeast Asia is very interesting. And the top of our ranking of 30 emerging markets, for instance, is Vietnam. So there's still some interesting thing going on. And we are actually quite positive on the midterm outlook for emerging markets and Southeast Asia in particular.
All right. Yeah, Dr. Brill, I realize we've gone so deep into certain sectors. I've forgotten to ask you to give us a bird's eye view of VP Bank's overall second half market outlook. And what I noticed was one of the themes was the reopening and the return of summer, meaning that it was a bit of a sunny disposition. Can you just outline for us briefly what the VP Bank's overall second half market outlook is now globally? Is it still safe to get back into the water, or is the prognosis still pretty rosy? Can you lay this out for us, sir?
I know we were really positive on the economic outlook. And if you look around especially on the leading indicators, so business sentiment in the manufacturing industry and in the service sector across the globe, basically has improved tremendously over the last couple of months. Now, with the reopening in Europe and the US and all still to come in many emerging markets, this is really good news, especially for the service sector. And this, I think, is a really positive backdrop also then for the global economy. And we are really positive here that this recovery is gaining still momentum, gaining strength, gaining deepness across the globe. And this is a really good outlook. Of course, with that along comes a bit of a challenge, as we just touched on in terms of inflation. We see the supply chain issues like the uptick now, or like the jump actually in inflation in the US. So central banks are forced to deal with that, and this might spook markets from time to time. But we still think the increase in inflation is more of a temporary thing. It's going to fade out over time. And overall, this is a positive backdrop for financial markets.
And very quickly, Dr. Brill, I wanted to know if VP Bank had a particular view on Singapore's markets, trying to tie this back into it for our local listeners, actually. Can you share with us if VP Bank has a strong stance or opinion, actually, on Singapore markets for the second half, if you think there might be good times or more headwinds or bumps along the road for our local markets here?
Sure, happy to do that. So from a regional perspective in the stock market, Singapore is actually our most preferred market currently. And there are three reasons for that. First, we think Singapore is in a really good position to be among the first for really full reopening. If you look at the progress of the vaccination and so on, and we've seen already the travel bubbles and so on. So I think here this would be really good news, as we also know from Europe and the US. Second reason, Singapore is a very open economy. Tourism, for instance, is quite important for the overall economy, but then also consumption from expats and so on and so forth. So with the reopening and the reflation of the global economy, Singapore is really good in a good position to benefit from that. And finally, we've seen in the last couple of months that companies take the opportunity to restructure, to improve on profitability. So now add to that improvement in profitability now the outlook for more demand. So this I think is a really good mix for many Singaporean companies.
All right, Dr. Felix Brill, Chief Investment Officer for VP Bank, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share your firm's outlook for the second half in markets. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very uncertain times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the broadcast. Meanwhile, try to have a great Thursday and good morning to you out there in Liechtenstein.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.